Thank you for joining us for another great message from The Door. This week, Andrew Chalmers shares his powerful testimony and teaches us how to apply the blood of Jesus to our lives.
Awesome. Well, it's good. It's so good to be with you guys, and welcome to The Door. Who's first time ever coming to The Door on a Sunday night? This place, not through a door on a Sunday night, but The Door. Okay, cool. Can we just welcome them? Awesome. We are a community of people that are following Jesus from different denominations and backgrounds of all ages, and we get together every week, and we have awesome times of worship. We study God's Word. Some nights we do have just worship nights and different things, and then we also just like to spend time and really empower the body of Christ to get to know each other from different churches and denominations. So this is a place for that. And so even after the service tonight, I want to invite you guys to stick around, hang out, and meet some people that you don't know, because I just believe it's just so powerful when we as the body of Christ come together. And this is a weekly opportunity for you guys to do that if you ever feel like coming to a service on a Sunday night. Our doors are always open, except on a lot of major holidays like Easter. We're not having service, right? Yeah, so Easter, we're not doing that. Was that in the announcements that we had? No, okay. Easter, we're not having service. That's in 2 or 3 weeks. Most of the time we are here, though. I want to let you guys know, tonight we were going to have my mom. She was going to come, and both me and her were going to be sharing, but her mom, my granny, passed away on Thursday night. So she's actually in North Carolina right now, and they're arranging all the details. The funeral is on Tuesday, so just be praying for my family right now. It's just a really tough loss, you know, to everybody. She was an incredible godly woman that really wanted to see my whole family experience Jesus and come to know him. And that was, you know, one of the last conversations I had with my granny was about, you know, about that and how badly she wanted that. And so I just believe even her passing, she's leaving a great legacy, but I just believe that the next 2 days that there's going to be a great harvest on that side of my family. There's a lot of people in my family that have yet to come to the Lord and surrender their life to Christ. So I'm just believing that even this next few days. So if you guys would just be praying for us and praying for our family, that God would not only just minister to those that are hurting, but also that we would just see an incredible harvest, that many people would come to Jesus. And we'll definitely have my mom come another time. But my mom recently wrote a book, and it's called No One Visits the Mother of a Drug Addict. And this is the book right here. We actually have a stack back there that you guys will be able to grab. And so tonight, what I'm going to be doing is basically I'm going to share a little bit about some of the stuff that's in this book, tell you guys a little bit about the book. And then also I have just a message, and I want to encourage you guys I want to share a message, but also share some of my testimony. And I hope that will encourage you guys. And some of you guys have heard like a lot of my testimony, and some of you guys really haven't heard very much at all, which is exciting, because I just believe that it's going to encourage, you know, everybody in the room who's able to hear what the Lord has done. Amen? Awesome. Well, I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to begin to study the Word and just share a couple things. God, I thank you so much for tonight, and I thank you for everyone that you've brought here. God, I pray that you would speak by your Holy Spirit. I pray that, God, you would just begin to release revelation knowledge, God, that we would begin to see things the way that you see them, God. And I pray for a breakthrough anointing to be released, not only in this room, but, God, that there would just be chain reactions that would be released into families and into this city and into this nation. God, we pray for breakthrough to be released, God, that you would have your way. And we just say, Holy Spirit, you can continue to do everything that you want in this place. And I surrender every word and everything that I'm going to be sharing, God. I surrender it to you, God. And I just say, just come and have your way, Lord. I pray for open ears, God, that you would open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I am actually, I'm going to be sharing out of the scripture, Revelation 12:11. And that's going to be sort of the premise scripture that I'm going to be sharing out of. And the scripture says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And this is a part of Revelation where it's this really this kind of epic part of Revelation where there's like a battle in heaven and you have like angels fighting each other, and then it begins to talk about the church and how Satan was upon the earth and trying to destroy the seed of the woman or the seed of Eve and trying to kill humanity and steal, kill, and destroy. And yet they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And tonight, so I'm going to be sharing about the blood of the Lamb, and I'm also going to be sharing my testimony. So this is really the premise about what I'm going to be sharing about. A lot of the things that you guys will hear from my testimony, some of it will be in my mom's book, No One Visits the Mother of a Drug Addict. And then also some of it isn't in here because she had no idea. You know, this is actually the story of her perspective. But I'm going to be sharing a few things, and I think that they will encourage you. But the main idea tonight that I want to really focus on is really the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus. And this is actually an old message. This is not a new message, but actually the blood of Jesus is something that's not relatively often preached in churches today. It's just not a common theme, but old-timey churches and like in the 18 and 1900s and a part of the Great Awakenings, actually preaching on the blood of Jesus was something that preachers would preach on almost every night. It was something that was commonly preached on, and there's power in the blood of Jesus, amen? There's power in the blood of Jesus, and there's power to release liberty and to set people free. Even tonight, if you're struggling personally, maybe not with the addictions that I dealt with, but right now, if you're struggling with any addictions or setbacks, I believe that God is able to set you free by his name and by the blood of Jesus. He wants to do incredible things, and not only for people tonight, but also if you have loved ones or siblings or people in your family that are going through stuff, I believe that the things we're going to be talking tonight, they're going to fill you with faith, and they're going to activate your faith, and that you're going to begin to just really begin to see the blood of Jesus and the power of our testimonies in a brand new way. And I believe that right now we are in the midst of Revelation 12:11, where right now Satan, the accuser, is on the earth, and he is trying to sift and destroy as many as possible, for he knows that his time is near. Jesus said, the enemy only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. And what that tells us is very clearly that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy, not only from you, but everyone on the earth, that his main objective when he looks at humanity, which carries the image of God, when he sees us, he sees God in us. He knows that, and he hates us because of it, and he wants to destroy us, and he wants to destroy our God-given destinies. And so he's out to take us out, and I believe that that's a part of my story, and that's a part of all of our stories, is ultimately that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy us, but Jesus has come that we could have life and life more abundantly. I believe that tonight that God wants to even release breakthrough and release a burden in the hearts of people, specifically in the area of people that are struggling with addiction. Right now in America, drug addiction is the number one accidental death in the United States. As many people die in car accidents, and also one other major thing, I can't remember what the other thing is, but there's two and three on the list, if you combine them, is what it takes to reach number one on the list. This is killing more Americans than any other thing in accidental premature deaths right now, all across the United States, not only in the United States, but all over the world. It's alarming what's happening. I was reading an article last night that I just stumbled across, and it was talking about how many people are dying of drug overdoses in counties and in places around America. And right now, it's truly an epidemic that's taking out a lot of lives. And even just the last couple of weeks, I lost a friend, and over the last several years, I've had many friends that have died because of drug overdoses or suicide. And like, even as I look back at, like, if you read my story and you hear about, like, the friends or just the people that I hung out with, many of them, I have no idea if they're alive today because they've basically disappeared off the map, or I know for a fact they're dead today, or they're in prison, or they're still on drugs. And so this right now is just ravaging through America, and I believe that the blood of Jesus is the answer. for our nation and for our generation. And I believe that God wants to release a burden even on people's hearts tonight where you've never had a burden, you've never even struggled with drug addiction, okay? And just like David Wilkerson, who wrote the book The Cross and the Switchblade, I believe that God's gonna call some David Wilkersons even tonight, and people that are gonna listen to this message through podcasts, I believe that God's gonna call David Wilkersons who are gonna begin to go and begin to help people that are specifically dealing with drug addiction, because I believe that God wants to raise up an army that are gonna begin to go after this and begin to see people radically set free, amen? So it says, and they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when they faced death. There's two things that I wanna talk about when referring to the blood of Jesus. One, the blood of Jesus allows us to overcome the power of sin and death in our lives. The blood of Jesus empowers us to overcome that death that we deserve and that we should face in our lives. Romans chapter 6, which is after what Brian was reading earlier, Romans chapter 6 says, for the wages of sin is death. The price of sin that you and I owe is that we actually deserve to die, and we were born into this thing with death. And because of that sin, we deserve to die. But the blood of Jesus offers us a better way, and we can come up under the blood of Jesus. How many of you guys have ever heard that? Come under the blood. Anybody ever heard that? Come under the blood. What does that mean? When we come under the blood of Jesus, what happens is we are actually able to overcome the death sentence that we face because of our sin. And if you guys will go back later and read Exodus chapter 12, you can read through the story of Exodus where the people of God, through Joseph, they had been taken, or their whole family moved to Egypt. And while in Egypt, they grew up and they prospered. And then several hundred years later, the ruler just began to enslave them and use them and abuse them. And eventually, God wanted to liberate them and set them free and, you know, send them through the wilderness and eventually into the promised land. Well, before he sent them out, Moses and the 10 plagues, everyone in here has heard the story, right? Well, the final 10th plague was where Moses told everyone in the land, not just the Jews, but everyone in the land, that they were to kill an animal, a lamb, and that they were to take the blood of the lamb, and that they were to, by faith, they were to smear it over the top of their doorposts. And that night, the angel of death, or God himself, was coming through Egypt, and that any family who did not have the blood over the doorpost, that the firstborn son in that family would die and be struck dead that night. And what we see there is this. We see God coming through and the vengeance and the wrath of God coming through this whole region, all of this land. But the blood was covering the doorpost, and the blood covered every household was there. And so the punishment and the judgment that they deserved, right? The wage of sin is death. The price that we deserve to pay is death. But because of the blood, when you're under the blood of Jesus is like that blood on the doorpost, where instead of the wrath of God that we deserve, when you're covered by the blood, in other words, when the blood is there over your life, what happens is the wrath that you deserve because of the sin in your life, no longer does that wrath and the judgment of God come upon you, but instead you receive the mercy and the grace of God. It's like he passes over you. Amen? So the blood of Jesus, it sets us free from the power of sin and death in our lives. And not only that, but also the accuser. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, can you pull those two up? Do you have them? So Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. I want to look at the verse before. And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and I ate it. It was sweet as honey. Or no, 12, 10 and 11. You do that accidentally in Revelation, it can be really funny, because you never know what you're about to read. Other books, you can kind of play it off. Revelation, you can't. Revelation chapter 12. Cool.
Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has happened at last. God's salvation and the power and the rule and the authority of Christ are finally here. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down from heaven onto the earth. He accused them day and night before our God, but they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony." Here's the amazing thing. When you're covered by the blood, when the blood of Jesus is over your life, when you come up under the blood of Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood for you. And when you come by faith underneath the blood that was shed for you on the cross, here's what happens. The voice of accusation has to stop right there. It says the accuser day and night was accusing them. And here's what I know is when I was living in sin and when I was living for myself and when I was stuck in addiction, the voice that I heard day and night, night and day, was the voice of accusation. You're no good. You're never going to change. You'll never get out of this darkness. You're never going to see hope. Nothing ever is going to get better. Look at you. You've messed up again. Look what you did to your family. All the accusation, that's all I ever heard. But when I came up under the blood of Jesus, I overcame the voice of accusation that Satan had been bringing against me because, no, I'm covered by the blood now. I don't deserve the wrath of God anymore. I did deserve it because the price of my sin was that I deserved death, and I did deserve the judgment of God. You're right, I did, but no longer is that who I am because now I'm under the blood. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. So when Jesus died on the cross for you and he shed his blood for you, that blood was shed so that way the voice of accusation in your life would stop, that you would no longer have to live hearing accusation. And also, so that way you could be liberated and set free from the power of sin and death and the judgment of God, that you would never have to face the judgment of God, but that you would be set free from that you wouldn't have to face that. Ultimately, Jesus' blood, he paid the price with his blood. Romans 10, 9 through 13. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The blood of Jesus sets us free from all the shame of our past. When we come up under the blood of Jesus, we're not only forgiven and shown the mercy of God, but we're also set free from all accusation. The blood of Jesus was a free gift, but we have to demonstrate our faith in Christ by making a conscious choice to come up under the blood. We come under the blood when we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts. The Jews, and I believe even the Egyptians, who chose by faith, by the word of Moses, to take the blood of the Lamb and smear it over their doorpost, that was an act of faith. That was faith without works is dead. Well, they believed that that's what God was going to do, even though it had never been done before. It's not like they had heard it before in the Bible. Like, oh, God did that before. You know, he might actually do it. Like, this was crazy. They're going around saying, smear blood on your doorpost or your firstborn son's going to die. I mean, everyone had to have think that they were crazy. But they chose by faith. They took a step of faith and they applied the blood. When we come to Christ, it takes a step of faith, right? Jesus paid the price for us on the cross. But just because it was paid for doesn't mean that everyone in the world, all over the world, has it. We have to actually come by faith and receive the free gift of the cross and what he did through his blood, the atoning sacrifice of his blood. So in the same way that the Hebrews, they smeared the blood over the doorpost, in that same way, we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that he is Lord. Amen? This is really simple. This is really basic. But this is what changed my life. This is what changed everything for me. Because I'll never forget when I ended up coming to the Lord, and I had been dealing with all of these addictions, and I had been struggling in all of these areas, and I had so much shame, and I had so much condemnation, and all of this guilt, and just all of these things that I was going through. Ultimately, when I came to Jesus, he set me free from that. And here's the greatest thing about everything that I was just sharing about. Here's what the blood of Jesus does. The blood of Jesus frees you from all guilt, shame, and condemnation. All of it. When you come up under the blood, when by faith you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe it in your heart and you make that simple, faith-filled decision to follow Jesus, suddenly, in the spiritual realm, there's a blood mark over your head. And no longer is the wrath and the judgment of God coming upon you. No longer are you facing those things. No longer will you face that in the future. No longer is the voice of accusation the loudest voice in your head, because now you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But also, when the blood of Jesus comes over you, it comes to destroy all guilt, shame, and condemnation from your past. Because you're defined by that mark. You're defined by that blood. And everything in the past, it's no longer there. There's so many times, you know, if you read my story, some of the things that my mom shared are just kind of the top of the iceberg of the things that I did and the things that I put not only my family, but just people in general through. My whole life, I was completely self-absorbed and miserable. And yeah, I happened to be addicted to drugs and addicted to a number of other things. But ultimately, I was just consumed with myself. And I thought that if I didn't take care of myself and preserve myself and take care of my needs, that I wasn't going to be taken care of. And so I did everything I could to fill and to satisfy myself, even if it meant that I had to hurt you to do it. And I did that over and over and over again. 2 weeks ago, one of my friends from my past went up missing for 6 days. They found his body in a neighborhood where I used to buy drugs every single day. They found his body next to a house in an abandoned lot, okay? 6 days, his body had just been laying there. That should have been me. Like, I promise you guys, I woke up many times with my face in the dirt. I should have been black and blue, but there were times where I wanted to commit suicide, and I would inject so much drugs into my body, it could kill a horse. Like, it was like I would take as much drugs as I could at once and do it, and I would wake up again. And I don't know why I lived, except that God woke me up again. My friend was found dead. And you know the first thing I thought about, or the first thing that came up to my mind as soon as I remembered that they found him dead, was that the person that introduced him to the drug that killed him was me when he was in high school, and his brother, who's no longer here. They're both dead. And you know what? Like, immediately it was like, you know what? Guilt, shame, condemnation. But it's like, no, the blood of Jesus has covered me. And no longer do I have to live with guilt, shame, and condemnation from my past. So here's the incredible thing about the blood of Jesus. And this is for everybody in the room. When Satan comes as the accuser and he tries to accuse you and he tries to say, remember this, remember that, look at what you did. Say, point to the blood. You guys know the word plead the blood? Sometimes it's misused. But pleading the blood is pointing to a case, or saying, like, I plead this. No, look at this. Like, look at this evidence. In other words, you're standing before a judge. He's about to say you're guilty, and you plead, and you say, no, like, look at the evidence right here that I have. In other words, when Satan comes and he tries to bring condemnation and guilt and shame to you, this could look a million different ways. Like, that example I just gave you was really heavy and really deep, because I wanted you guys to realize the depravity and the thing, like, even the temptation that I face and looking back with such guilt and shame and condemnation on a daily basis. That's just one of many things I could tell you guys that I just regret and that I hate when I look backwards. But here's the deal, is when we look back, we've got to plead the blood of Jesus. We've got to say, you know what? Satan's trying to accuse me. Satan's trying to make me feel ashamed of my past. Satan's trying to bring back all the things from my past. No, I'm pleading the blood. Look at the blood. I'm pleading the blood right now. And when I point to the blood, it means that I'm no longer guilty, because Jesus paid the price for me. When he hung on that cross, he did what I deserve to do. You're right, Satan. I deserve to die for all the things that I did. But I don't have to. Look at the blood. I've applied the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to my life. Guys, in the book of Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood. If you want to overcome, if you want your family to overcome, If our nation is going to overcome, if our generation is going to overcome, it's going to be by the blood of Jesus. Because when we apply the blood of Jesus to our life, we are able to overcome the voice of accusation, and we are able to overcome the guilt and the shame and the condemnation from our past. How many of you guys want to just see all guilt, shame, and condemnation leave? Just anything like that. The blood of Jesus is powerful. The second thing that I want to talk about is the blood of Jesus and how it gives us access into God's presence. From the beginning, we were created to exist in God's presence. Because of sin, we were separated from our intended purpose. God created a plan to redeem what was lost. First, he gave a promise to a man, Abraham, and then a covenant through Moses. And in this covenant, he gave provision for his presence. He wanted his people to be able to commune with his presence. He gave them the plans for the tabernacle, which pointed back to the garden and also forward to what would come through Christ. With the tabernacle, they had a type of access to his presence, but not in its fullness. Through the cross and what Jesus did, we are all presented access once again to what we were created for. We are given permission to come in with boldness and without fear into the glorious presence of God every day, all the time. Everything you have ever really deeply longed for is found in his presence. It's heaven on earth. The blood of Jesus gives us access into this reality, not only after we die, but also in the earth today. The blood of Jesus acts like a key that allows us to open up the door that was once forever shut by our pride and sin. And thank God that the blood of Jesus that he gave for us. When I go, I've traveled around and spoken specifically teen challenges and drug rehabs, not only all over the United States, but all over the world. I've probably spoken at over 65 or 70 different programs. I like anywhere I travel, I look for a teen challenge and I'll go speak there. I love going and sharing at teen challenges. And, you know, that opportunity, I have 60 minutes with a group of 60 guys that more than likely, you know, 99% of them, if they don't get a hold of this thing, are going to be dead in a year or back in prison. So in a room of this big, imagine only half of one person in this room is probably going to end up doing really awesome if they don't get this thing. And so I'm given 1 hour, and it's like, man, what do I say? You know what I say every time? It's so easy. It's so easy. I tell them this. I say, you know what? From the beginning, humanity was created to live and breathe and have everything that they do in the presence of God. You were created to abide in God, to live and to stay and remain in God's presence. And that was your created purpose. But sin separated from his presence because he's perfect and he's holy. And we were cast out of his presence, and it brought death into our lives. And so what we do is humanity, we try to substitute what we were created for and what will only truly satisfy with everything that we can find in this world, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, lying, bitterness, rage, anger, whatever sin, money, wealth, fame, notoriety, pleasing people. We try to do everything we can to try to satisfy that need. But it's kind of like this. We're like a car that's made to have diesel fuel, and we keep trying to put gasoline in it. We keep trying to put ethanol in it. we try, you know, pouring some olive oil in it, you know, like whatever. Just we just keep trying all this stuff and nothing's clicking and we're wondering why. And so what we do as humanity is we go to the next bottle of whatever liquid we can find and we pour it into ourselves. But we were created like a diesel engine's created for diesel fuel. Until you put diesel fuel into a diesel engine, it's not going to crank. It's not going to run. It's not going to be fulfilling its intended purpose. Well, guess what? You and I, as humanity, we were created to be fueled by God's presence. Everything you've ever wanted at its core. So if you were to boil down, like if you were to take everything you've ever wanted and we were to boil it down to just a few key things, like we could basically boil it all down. If we did that, every single thing you've ever wanted is found in his presence. Everything that you deeply long for and you desire is in his presence. And that's what I'll begin to tell them. I say, you know what? You were created for God's presence. David said, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And this is what I'll tell him. You were created for pleasure. In the church, we diminish pleasure. We say pleasure's bad. But God actually created you and I to be filled with pleasure. I was created for pleasure. You were created for pleasure. This is kind of a weird thing to talk about in church, but we were actually created to be filled with pleasure. To be filled with love and adoration and things that are just so satisfying and just like they meet our every need. Like you and I were created for pleasure. The problem is that where we're looking to meet our satisfaction are all these little things. And for me, I'll never forget, I was 15 years old and I had lived my life. I grew up in the church. I had an awesome family. My mom and dad are incredible people. I started using drugs when I was around 12 years old. And so 12 to 15, I was experimenting with drugs. And when I was 15, I was in high school. And my friend had been stealing pharmaceutical pills from his dad that were prescribed to him. And he would steal them and bring them to school. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in gym. And my friend gave me one, and I took that. And instantly, I was addicted. Like from the time I was 15 until I was 21, I was addicted because I remember thinking in my head that what I just experienced is what I was always looking for, because it made me feel like I never dreamed I could feel that way. And I thought that it was going to satisfy me, but actually over time, what I found is it was an illusion, and it actually slowly destroyed and took away everything that I thought was going to happen. Just like pouring the wrong oil or the wrong fuel into a car over time, even if it has some gas, but you mix things in with it, what's going to happen? You'll destroy the engine over time, and eventually it won't work at all. I was adding all of these things into my life, and it was destroying me from the inside out, and ultimately it brought death into my life. It destroyed a lot of dreams and a lot of things. It destroyed a lot of relationships, and just it did so much harm. But here's the amazing thing is through the blood of Jesus, I was given access into God's presence. So how are we overcomers by the blood of Jesus? Here's point number two, and this is really simple. Because of the blood of Jesus, you and I are giving access and permission to come back into what we were created for. A lot of times when people talk about the blood of Jesus, they mainly focus on the fact that we are forgiven of our sins by the blood, right? The blood makes us white as snow. When we're washed by the blood, we're white as snow, right? We're pure before God. But here's what I think is even more exciting. Not only are we washed white as snow, you and I are made pure before God, but when you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, you are given permission to step into God's presence, and you are ultimately able to go back to what you were created for. And so no longer do you have to search the earth, trying to satisfy every waking need and desire and whim that your flesh has, trying to satisfy yourself. But now, because of the blood of Jesus, you can enter into God's presence 24/7 and basically live with the kingdom of God on the earth here and now, heaven on earth now, because the blood of Jesus has covered you and you're stepping into God's presence. And so when I'm at Teen Challenges, I'll tell them this and I'll begin to explain to them, you were created to know God and to spend time with him in his presence. And that is what you're really longing for. That's really what you're searching for. And guys, if you're in here tonight and you're struggling with addiction, or you know somebody that's struggling with addiction, ultimately is you or that person is still trying to satisfy what only God can satisfy. A lot of times we shame people because they're addicted to sex, pornography, drugs, and gambling because it brings them temporary pleasure. And so we look at that and we say, pleasure is bad. And we shame them and say, you know what? You don't need those things. But here's the reality. The pleasure that addicts are seeking was actually God-given. God put inside of all of us a desire for pleasure. He gave that to us. Why? Because that desire for pleasure was intended to be projected towards his presence. Does that make sense what I just said? He gave you a desire for pleasure so that you would take that desire, that hunger, that thirsting, that longing. He put that inside of you, that gnawing, aching, that even after you're born again, it's still there. The reason it stays there is because he wants you constantly to be turning towards his presence and allowing him to satisfy that desire for pleasure. Not in some weird way. I hope you guys don't get confused by what I'm saying, but just that he would satisfy you and fulfill you with the peace and the joy and the love that you really, really are looking for. So many times, addiction has less to do with stopping the bad and more to do with starting the good. It has less to do with cutting out the things that you don't need to be doing and pushing those things away. And it has more to do with feeding yourself the things that you're really created for. The presence of God, the word of God, the love of God. Because here's what happens. When you begin to satisfy yourself with what you were created for, these other things aren't even attractive anymore. And that's my testimony. If you read the book, it's awesome. It tells you incredible stories of God's faithfulness and how God has blessed me beyond what I could have ever imagined. But here's the most basic point that I'll give you guys. The reason that I am delivered from drugs and from alcohol and all the other things that I struggle with was because and is because of the blood of Jesus, which gave me access into the presence of God, where every single day I can turn to him and he can satisfy what I'm really looking for. And on a consistent basis, I continuously allow him to satisfy me. And as long as I continue to do that, the attractiveness of this world just goes really, really dim. And I become more and more increasingly hungry for him. I don't believe that drug addiction is a disease. At all. I believe that ultimately it's all boiled down to this, that drug addiction, any addiction is this. God created you with a hunger and a desire for pleasure that can only be satisfied in his presence. And until you come up under the blood of Jesus that was paid for your sin and it washes you and you come into his presence, you're never going to be fully satisfied. And if you read this book, one thing you'll notice is that a lot, especially at the beginning, and it doesn't really tell that many details, but I'll just tell you guys, from the time, even from when I was 15 till I was 21, when I went to a teen challenge program and surrendered my life to Christ, and he radically transformed me, I wasn't willing to allow him to totally satisfy me. I was around the things of God. Right, I would go to church with my parents on Sunday, like on Easter and different occasions. I would be like at these church events. I mean, I was around the things of God, but just because I was around it doesn't mean that I was allowing him to totally satisfy me and to totally allow him to meet those needs. And so here's what I would encourage you guys. If you're struggling with addiction or if you know someone that's dealing with an addiction, is to invite them to begin to turn to Jesus in faith and let him satisfy the things that they're looking for. And over time, they'll get more and more hungry and more hungry for him. And it's just like creating an appetite. How many of you guys like to eat sweets? Dakota raised two hands. The more sweets you eat, the more sweets you want. You guys ever experienced that? You start eating it after every meal. After every meal, you want to eat like a donut or whatever, cake.
That's me now. I'm like, the holidays got me. You know, after every meal of the holidays, they just like, there's dessert, dessert, dessert. Well, guess what? Now I'm still eating dessert after every meal. So I'm trying to break that habit. But here's the thing. It's like when you begin to turn towards God and he begins to satisfy you, what happens is then you begin to actually generate an appetite for him and a desire for him. And I believe that just that simple idea of the blood of Jesus allowing us to come into his presence is what truly can set people free. I want to just point to the Old Testament just real quickly about what I was just talking about. In the Old Testament, you have the high priest, which was given through the law. God gave the tabernacle, and he gave this plan. And basically, the plan was a temporary solution until the Messiah came, when God's kingdom would fully be at hand and fully be realized upon the earth. And the plan was, I'm going to create a temporary habitation, a tent, where my presence can dwell. In other words, what was lost in the garden, I want to make available again, but not in its fullness and not for everybody, but I want to make it available to this group of people that I've made a covenant with, and I'm going to tell them exactly what to do. It's going to resemble the garden. I'm going to put my presence there, and then they are going to be able to somewhat access my presence. But it was extremely limited. In fact, it was so limited that there was one guy who was elected out of everyone in the entire nation, which was a lot of people. There was one guy, and he got one day a year that he could go into what was called the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Testimony was, and which is where the presence of God was in pure form. The presence of God was there. And so get this, you have a whole nation and you have all of humanity, no one allowed into the presence of God. But suddenly God makes provision, and he makes provision for one guy. And he says, okay, I'm going to let this one guy, generation, to come into the presence. And what they would do is basically they would have to kill animals, and they would do the massive blood sacrifices. And through these blood sacrifices, what would happen is it would atone for and wash away the sin of the high priest and the sins of the nation. And if it was all done properly, and if the high priest hadn't committed any sins accidentally that morning and forgot to mention it or do whatever he needed to do, then he could actually walk into the presence of God. He could walk into heaven on earth. But it wasn't an enjoyable experience. It was completely terrifying, because the blood of animals, the blood of bulls and goats, really wasn't good enough to cover him. In fact, they would tie a rope around their leg, and they would be like, all right, go, go, go. And they'd be like, no, I don't want to go, you know. And they would go in there, and occasionally they would die. Because God is holy and perfect, and if they came in with any spot or blemish, the power and the presence and the holiness of God would immediately strike them dead. They would fall down, and they would pull them out by their leg and a rope and say, oh, let's not do that next time. Let's do whatever we need to do right. So that was just a picture of what was to come. And then through Christ, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12, you can go back. I was actually going to read all this, but for the sake of time, I don't have time to read it. Hebrews 9, 10, 11, and 12, it explains all this. But through Jesus Christ, through his blood, we are now given access into the holy place. And in fact, not only are we given access into a tent where his presence is, we are the tent, and he is here. The thing that I was created to be satisfied for, or the one that I was created to be satisfied by, is no longer there. He's here by the blood of Jesus. When I apply the blood of Jesus by faith, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. When I do that, I receive the Holy Spirit into my life, which is the presence of God. It is God present within me. And through that, I can begin to abide in a relationship with God and commune with him as never known before. And this is the incredible implications of the blood of Jesus. This is how you can actually overcome addiction or whatever it is that you're facing, is through the presence of God and through abiding in him, through the Holy Spirit inside of you. And when Jesus died on the cross, when he passed away, the whole earth shook and it became dark. And the veil, which separated men from the most holy place in the temple at the time, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And it was God saying, you know what? I've invited you into my presence. You can now come. And now it's not only just one guy a year from an entire nation that was specifically selected by God, but all of humanity, Gentiles and Jews alike. By the blood of Jesus, we can enter into what we were created for. And addiction no longer has to prevail. Addiction no longer has to rule in your life. What's so beautiful about this new covenant in Jesus is that because of the blood of Jesus, we now have access to be in God's presence without any fear or judgment. We can enter into his presence with boldness because we're no longer hindered by our sins. This is all about his blood. It's all about what he did on the cross. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you and I can enter into his presence. We can be fully satisfied in him. What does it mean to be fully satisfied in God? It means that everything you ever wanted is completely realized in your life at all times. I'm not talking about material possessions, okay? Like I'm not preaching like a false prosperity idea, but everything you ever wanted at its core. Like material possessions are really just an outward manifestation or like or something that is, you're trying to make up for a deeper desire, okay? So I'm really talking about those deep desires. Like you want to feel important, so you buy things that make you feel important, or you do things that make you feel important. In God's presence, all of that is realized. It's all about him, and it's all about his presence, and the incredible thing is that by his blood, we can live and abide and breathe and remain in his presence. And if you stumble and if you fall back into sin or if you struggle in an area, it's always important that you go back to the blood of Jesus and you say, one, the blood of Jesus has freed me from all guilt, shame, and condemnation. And the voice of accusation has to stop here. And two, the blood of Jesus, not my good works, has allowed me to come into your presence again. How many of you guys have ever struggled with sin and you felt like you couldn't go back to God or be in his presence? Raise your hand. I've got to wait 3.5 days before I can get back into God's presence, right? There's like a different number for everybody in the room, but you're like 1.75 days, I'll be back in, you know? But here's the reality. The blood of Jesus, I mean, I'm telling you guys, I mean, if you're struggling, you're going through things, right then, apply the blood of Jesus, appropriate the blood, apply it to your life, and come back into his presence, because here's the reality. Overwhelming yourself with guilt, shame, and condemnation is only going to continuously empower you to stay in the cycle of guilt, shame, condemnation, and sin. But when you struggle and you say, you know what? This is not what I was created for, and this is not who I was created to be. I apply the blood of Jesus. I silence the voice of accusation right now by his blood and by the power of his name, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to listen to Satan. And I'm entering back into your presence right now. When you enter back into his presence, then you allow him to satisfy you. That is what is going to begin to break the cycle of addiction, the cycle of sin, the cycle of torment, the cycle of depression, the cycle of whatever it is you're facing. Everything that you're looking for is going to be resolved in his presence. Anything's possible in his presence. Anything is possible. His love is manifested in his presence. That's one of the most powerful things I've been realizing just the last few days. Even the last 2 weeks, one thing that God has been showing me is this, is God is love. Therefore, if I am in God's presence, I am in the presence of pure, undefiled, 100% love. The perfect expression and embodiment of love. I am in that. I am enveloped, I am surrounded by the perfect expression of love. Like when you're in the presence of God, you're in the perfect expression of God's love. If you're longing for love, don't look to your phone. Don't look to the chat room or like, you know, texting someone that, you know, hopefully will make you feel affirmed and make you feel better about yourselves. You know, don't look to the websites or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that you might look to when you're looking for love. Apply the blood of Jesus to your life. Remember the blood and say, wow, I have permission to step in right now into the presence of God where there's the full expression of your love, God, and I enter into that right now. Amen? If you guys want to
you know, get the book tonight. We're going to have copies of it. And this is $15 for the book. And I want to invite you guys to get the book, especially if you know anyone or any families that are dealing with a son, a daughter, a family member that are struggling with addiction, or if you want to get some just in case you run into people in the future. It's really a great book for that. And not only that, I had a pastor from Rose Hill Baptist. He was calling me, or I called him this week because after I found out that my grandmother passed away, I had to call him and tell him that my mom wasn't coming. And you know, he told me when he read the book, he just wept. And then he said, you know what? He said, I got a stack of these books. And he said, I recommend anybody who has kids and you're raising your kids in the church to read this book. Because it's the story of my mom who is raising a kid, you know, raising some kids in a church and just what she went through and what she faced. And it's just great to be able to hear how prayer and sticking to the word of God really allowed her to come through and see the miracle that God had for me and my whole family. And it's just an incredible story of hope. And that's what the world needs. That's what the world needs is hope. And the blood of Jesus is a symbol of hope for all of humanity. Hope that we don't have to struggle with guilt. Hope that we don't have to feel condemned all the time. Hope that we don't have to be overwhelmed with our shame. Hope that we can enter into God's presence and be and remain in the place that we were created for. Amen. His blood is powerful. And even tonight, you know, out of Revelation 12:11, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Even tonight, we are overcomers as you listen to the testimony of what God's done in my life. And as you hear about the blood of Jesus, this is how you overcome. It's important that you understand the implications and the power of the blood. Because when the accuser comes, you have to know that you have the blood, that you can point to the blood, that you can plead the blood in your life. And it's going to help you. It's going to empower you guys. And Jesus is the one who can set all of us free from every addiction, from everything that we've struggled with. Amen. Let's just stand up. I'm going to have the ministry team come forward. So if you guys would go ahead and come forward, and we're going to have some time. I just want to offer anybody who would like to receive prayer to come forward tonight and receive prayer for. Maybe if you have family members that are struggling or going through anything, just come on forward, and we're going to ask you guys to come forward and pray. If there's anyone in the room, if you've never come under the blood of Jesus, like if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I just want to encourage you to give your life to him today. You know, the Lord is able to do incredible miracles. In fact, there was an awesome testimony. What's your name? Patsy. Yeah, so Patsy, I met her a couple years ago, and her son was in the hospital, and he was dying, and he had been dealing with addiction, and me and someone else, we actually went and prayed for him, and just within a day, I think it was, he just totally 100% came back, and God worked. She told me that today when I saw her, and God worked an incredible miracle in her son's life. And so if you need a miracle in your body, if you need healing or just anything like that, love to just pray for you guys. And let's just pray right now. I want to pray for all of us that we would just understand the blood, the power of the blood, to enter into his presence and to be fully satisfied in him. Amen. God, we apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the testimony that you've given each one of us. And Lord, we just say thank you for permission to enter into what we are created for. And that's, we were created to be in your presence and to be close to you and to know you, to be fully enveloped by your love and to know that we're accepted and that we're approved. And even tonight, God, I just choose to enter into that place. I refuse to listen to any accusation. I refuse to listen to any condemnation, any guilt. I just declare right now that the blood of Jesus covers my life, and I listen to the voice of my Father. I pray that over everyone in this room right now, you silence all accusation, all fear, all guilt, all shame right now. Lord, I plead the blood over every person in this room. I thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room who's just been struggling with an addiction, a hidden thing. God, I pray that you would, by your blood, bring total freedom from addiction. Right now, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.